We're exploring this idea this month of loving others. Last week we looked at, you know, how do we love our spouses? What's that look like? This morning we want to look about how do we love our neighbor? How do we do that? And so probably one of the most famous parables, passage of scriptures that a lot of people just seem to know it, even though they don't know a lot of Bible verses, they kind of know this one. And we're looking at Luke 10. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law, now notice that, an expert in the law, he stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, what must I do to inherit life? And Jesus responds, well, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And so the teacher said, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But this teacher wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Who exactly is it that I'm supposed to love? There's kind of embedded in this is this idea, who don't I have to love? And so Jesus tells a parable in reply. He says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now this area, you can kind of visit it today because it's very barren. And there's just a long trail, long road that works its way from the upper regions where Jerusalem is all the way down to Jericho, which is near the Dead Sea. Great place for robbers to hang out and wait for someone to come along because they're, you know, there's going to be a lot of distance between people. It says, he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he stopped and helped him, right? No. He passed on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, said, look after him. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. And then he looks back at the teacher and says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. When thinking about loving our neighbor, a question we often have to ask ourselves is, well, who exactly is my neighbor? Is it literally my neighbor? You know, the people live over here and over here. You know, in some places that's, you know, just a few feet. Some people that's, you know, a quarter of a mile or longer. Who are my neighbors? Is it people in my community? Is it people that I work with? Who is my neighbor? So taking our cues from Jesus' parable, I see three observations to help us answer this question. Your neighbor, first off, is the one you see. It's the one you see. All three travelers saw the wounded man. It wasn't as if the priest and the Levi just, you know, were looking around and taking in the sights and just happened to miss this guy, didn't even notice him. They all saw him. So Jesus' parable is saying, there's your potential neighbor right there. Frederick Buechner says this, if we are to love our neighbors before doing anything else, we must see our neighbors. With our imagination as well as our eyes, we must see not just their faces, but the life behind and within their faces. What's he calling us to see here? What's that? He's getting at the idea that there, you know, we often see people two-dimensionally. And Jesus is calling us to see the whole person there. the whole value, the whole worth, to see the Imago Dei, the image of God in that person. The priest and the Levite, they see an inconvenience. They see potentially someone who could make them unclean. If the guy's dead, then they can't go about their business. So they see him as a problem to avoid. But the Samaritan saw something else. So the neighbor is first off the person that you see. The neighbor is also, according to Jesus, the one you help. Who was the neighbor? The one who helped. The one who stepped into the moment. Now here's, an important observation for us. When we think of our neighbors, we think of our communities, and many of us have grown up in fairly homogenous communities. People a lot like us. On a number of different fronts. Where I grew up, this is a desert area, and you know, if we connected stories and talked, what we found is a lot of us were from somewhere else. Not very many people were born there. A lot of us had parents who worked for one of the few major aerospace industries there. So we had a lot of things in common. And so we tend to think those are our neighbors, the people who are like us in some way. But here's what we have to take to our hearts. The neighbor, your neighbor is not always going to be like you. There may be some differences. Now, those differences may be socioeconomic, they may be racial, they may be cultural, maybe spiritual. But when we see the differences God sees, where we see differences, God sees his handiwork. People who are precious in his sight. Jesus' initial audience split the world into Jew and Gentile, righteous and unrighteous, one worthy of love and the other of hate. But Jesus blows up this paradigm. Toward the end in Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy." See, I think that's where that teacher of the law wants to go. You know, I get love my enemy, but I want to hate my enemy. I want to love my neighbor and hate my enemy, so let me reduce down my neighbor so I know who I get to still hate. He says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, that word perfect can be translated as mature, complete. He's saying, grow up. The truth is that anyone can be our neighbor. They may or may not be neighborly to us. They may choose to be our enemies, but God loves us. He loves them, and so we are called to love them. Now, here's another thing, another application we can make for our current times. When there is talk of historic injustices that are still having an impact on people generations later, we often say, well, I didn't cause the problem, so I don't have to be a part of the solution. It's not my fault. That was my parents or my grandparents or my great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents, you know, just kick the can back down the line. But I see something here that invites me, and I encourage you to think of it's not inviting you into the same thought. That is, the Samaritan did not cause the traveler's problem. He wasn't the one who beat him up. He wasn't the one who robbed him. He wasn't the one who left him for dead. But still, when he saw the need, he chose to act. I think that's a lesson for us today. As we consider things that are going on, to ask ourselves, you know, maybe I didn't cause that problem, but can I be a part of a solution? So, how can I love my neighbor? So if we've identified who our neighbor is, it can be anybody, how can I love them? Let's continue to look at what the parable teaches us. Two people who could have helped kept on walking. Those two are ruled out as the one who loved their neighbor. So what's the lesson for us? First off, we must acknowledge what others may ignore. If we're going to love demonstrably, we have to acknowledge even what other people are choosing to ignore. You may be seeing needs that other people are not seeing. And sometimes we can rationalize, well, no one else is doing anything about this, so maybe I won't do anything about it. We have that way of kind of rationalizing things, right? You're driving down the road or on interstate, everybody's going 10, 20, 30 miles over the speed limit. Well, if they are, we are. I once parked in a spot that said no parking, but I saw all these other cars parked there, so I thought, I guess it's okay. The ticket I found when I got back told me that was a lie. And I thought, but everybody else was here. Doesn't matter. Just because everybody else is ignoring the problem does not mean you and I, as followers of Jesus, have to or get to ignore the problem. So we first off have to acknowledge what's there. Life, this broken life, this broken creation, can be painfully hard. And some experience this more than others. Not every traveler got mugged on that road, but some did. So here's what we do. We need to make sure that we meet the need that we actually see. None of us can meet all of the needs in the world. No single one of us can correct all the world's ills. But we can address that which we actually see in front of us when we have the opportunity. We have in our community a food pantry that seeks to provide food to those in need. And we sent word out this morning, or on Friday, because they're getting hit by the same supply chain problems that everybody else. One of their leaders told me that, you know, they were able to typically buy at a deep discount from suppliers who had maybe extra. Well, all their extra is going to the stores. So they're hit by some of that. So we've got a food drive, and I see some of you brought in, and we're going to do it again next Sunday. If you didn't get that word or see that, just bring in canned goods. I asked, what do they need? They said everything except potato chips and canned pumpkin. I don't know if you've ever tried to make a pumpkin pie. It takes more than the pumpkin in the can. So anything you have, if it's anything that can help make a meal, I think that's always great. But we want to also just be aware of this opportunity beyond just their current moment right now. And just to let you know, we're also giving out of our funds to help the pantry as well, so that when they see something that they can buy, they can do that, and often deep discounts. So we have with us today a guest. She's the volunteer coordinator and a part of their leadership team. Felicia Nunn is here, and she's going to come up and just tell us a little bit more about the pantry. Maybe you've kind of seen it. It's just right down. They are stocked up down here at the Lutheran Church, and she's just going to fill us on it. So if you want to come on up, Felicia. There you go.
Good morning, everyone. He's already introduced me. Pantry 279 came about 6 years ago from Girl Scout Troop 279. They had to make a community service project. And the girls seen that there was a need and opened up a food pantry. It started with a few items, and word got out. That first week, they gave service to 25 families. Go forward 6 years. The young ladies have all went off to college or starting careers or family. But now they have a legacy. We can serve anywhere from 500 to 800 families in a week. And when he talked about the supply chain, he's correct. Hoosier Hills Food Bank, we could not be where we're at without them. And with donations so we can buy food. We go to Midwest Food Bank once a month. But everyone's affected from what's going on in the world today. January and February are really, really bad months for donations. When it comes to volunteering, a lot of people are afraid with the COVID. I understand that. But the hardest decision we had to make was last Wednesday. At 6 o'clock, it was evident there was going to be no food service Saturday. I called, tried to get an extra truck from Hoosier Hills, and the Friday truck was already committed to another service. So we had to close. And going on the love thy neighbor thing, someone shared it to someone who shared it to someone and shared the post to someone. This thing went from crawling to running. Word got out. People started calling. What can I do to help you? What can I do to help you? What can I do to help you? And just like you, other churches and organizations have started food drives. And what's going on now is going to allow us to keep going and keep going. I started almost 2 years ago as a volunteer. And I tell people, I worked outside the home for 40 years for General Motors. Until I started volunteering at Pantry 279, I realized I was never truly happy in my career until I started there. You get the single mothers that say, thank you, this is going to help me make it through the week or help me till I get my next paycheck, support, or food stamp benefit. Now I'm really going to cry when I talk about this. I had an elderly woman. She's 87 years old. She came through and I filled her car. You know, she'd gotten her canned food box, so to speak. And everyone refers to me as the produce lady. You know, can you have oranges? Yes, I can have citrus. Can you have this? Can you have this? Yes. So I get to her car and she grabs both of my hands and looks at me. And she said, honey, do you know without this food pantry, I would probably be eating macaroni and cheese and tuna. She said, God bless you. And I'm thinking, no, God bless you. You need it. So, if you can spread the word and look in your hearts to help us, help these people. Like I said, the elderly, they've worked their life. And I have one lady who every 3 months has to pay $450 for the copay for her medication. And she said, without you, it would be hard this month. I have grandparents who are raising their grandchildren with no financial support. They depend on us. It's just what Byron said, all about loving your neighbor. I don't know these people, but with what I do, I feel like I love my neighbor. I talk about this with my husband all the time, and he tries to help spread the word. And he, in his job, he sees a lot of people, and they'll make comments about certain things. And he said, if you need help or this person needs help, go to Pantry 279, and they'll help you. And I want to thank you all for letting me speak this morning. And after I leave here, I'm going to go home for a minute, and I'll be back at the pantry trying to count donations and be ready for service tomorrow. If you don't have the means for monetary or extra, I would love to see you come help me. We don't care about your age or what you can do physically. We have anything and everything. I have a volunteer who comes every 2 weeks. She's 73. If she's 90 pounds, I would be surprised. And she goes, I come and I do what I can, but I'm not strong like you. And I tell her all the time, I said, you are strong like me because you're here. Strength doesn't come from what you can do physically. Strength comes from what you can do with your heart and your mind. Thank you.
If you're looking for ways to continue to help, I encourage you to go to their website, pantry279.org, and there you can give financially, you can sign up to be a volunteer, you can kind of check out what's going on. This is a way, you know, we've kind of sometimes, should we do something like that? They're doing a great job down there, so rather than repeating it, the more we can partner up with them and help them do what they're doing, the more we can love our neighbors in this area in this particular way. So let me just say thank you historically for what you've done over the years, and we just wanted to kind of put this back up there in front of you. I think it's just a great way to illustrate what loving your neighbor. This is one way. There are many other ways. You know, one of the things that I love about, you know, Facebook, and as I go through, I see all the different ways that people are involved with different things that matter to them. Food pantries. There are people who do a part of missions and rescue missions and helping people get out of sex trafficking. And there's so many different things. So be watching for those needs that you see, and then ask yourself, wow, that concept, how can I get involved? And then just simply ask, how can I get involved in this? What can I do? But here's the thing, we have to be ready for this. Notice what he said. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. We need to be willing to pay the price of showing love. That price is going to look a little different. There may be a financial cost. It may be a price of time, energy. And we all can't pay that same price. If you're 90 years old and just doing what you can, that's great. But loving other people will cost you something. The priest and the Levite weren't willing to pay that price, whatever that price was. The Samaritan was. The Samaritan, it cost him time, obviously. He had to stop. It cost him that wine and that oil. It cost him denarii and whatever else the expenses were. I don't know if he was riding the donkey first, but he gave that up. So often we want to love without paying any price. love will cost you. Whether it's your spouse, your children, your parents, your neighbors, your enemies. Love will cost you. But it's worth it. Listen to what Jesus said. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, laying down your life can literally be laying down your life. It can mean death. But on a day-to-day basis, laying down your life, maybe laying down your schedule, laying down your wallet, your checkbook, your debit card, credit card, whatever it is, maybe laying that down and saying, this isn't mine anymore. This is yours, Lord. I give it over to you. It is being willing, as Jesus said, to pick up your cross and follow him. It's being willing to go to the back of the line instead of trying to be at the front of the line. It's being willing to get down on your knees and wash feet. Laying down our lives happens in small little ways, but those small little things that we do add up and mean so much to other people. So I invite you, whether it's helping out with Pantry 279 or any other number of things that we do, if you go to our website and you look at the different organizations that we sponsor, we have some that we just kind of partner up with in our community and say, I want to be a part of that. I want to help. I want to love my neighbor, even if my neighbor isn't like me. Even if I don't like my neighbor. Or my late neighbor doesn't like me. We're still called to love. Will you pray with me? Father, love is hard. We like to think of love as just that, ooh, we feel so good towards someone else. But true love, agape love, is hard. And it requires that we lay down our lives in some form or fashion. Lord, help us to see. Help us to take an honest assessment of our lives. And to see how we've ordered our lives to convenience us, rather than to love others. May your spirit just kind of bring that out in front of us. Help us to see it for what it is, so we can repent of it and move closer to you and your heart. And Father, in this next moment when we take of communion, help us to see that Jesus has made this possible because he laid down his life for his friends and his enemies. In that bread and in that cup, help us to see that all of our needs are met so we don't have to be selfish. We can open ourselves up. We can die to ourselves because in Jesus we have the life that is truly life. Help us, Father, to be a people who are a light and a salt to our community as we love our neighbors. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.